somewhat fractured version of that Miles Davis classic titled Solar, with Hal Galper at the piano, Jerry Bergonzi on tenor sax, and the Seattle rhythm section of Jeff Johnson on bass and John Bishop on drums. And that was recorded in October of 2016 at the Tony LaPuma Center for Creative Arts at the Tri-C in Cleveland, Ohio, and has come out on a recent Origin release. Hal Galper Quartet, Cubist. Hello, I'm Jim Wilkie. Welcome to Jazz Northwest, our Sunday survey of the regional jazz scene. New releases and recent releases to share with you today. We have one from vocalist Jeff Baker coming up next. Surprising album, which has some wonderful arrangements that were done by Jeff Baker and a few others also participating in this. Daryl Grant, the Portland pianist, is here, along with Clark Summers on bass, a frequent compatriot, and Brian Blade on drums, and an all-star horn section with Steve Wilson on alto, Jeff Bradford on tenor, Marcus Hill on trumpet, and a string quartet also in here as well. Beautiful arrangements throughout. And I thought we'd play something kind of unusual you don't really expect to run into in a jazz sense usually. But it's a Billy Joel song, sung here by Jeff Baker and his beautiful arrangement on the song And So It Goes.
Every heart there is a room, a sanctuary safe and strong to heal the wounds from lovers past until a new one. Cautious tones, you answered me with no pretense. Still, I feel I said too much. Silence is my self-defense. And every time I've held a rose, seems I only felt the thorns. And so it goes, and so it goes, and so will you soon, I suppose. Thank you.
my silence made you leave. That would be my worst mistake. So I will share this room with you. You can have this heartbreak. This is why my eyes are closed. It's just as well for all I've seen. So it goes, and so it goes, and you're the only one who knows. You're the only one.
That was David Friesen playing his Hermage bass along with the guitarist Larry Coons in a tune titled Make Believe. That comes from a two-disc set titled Structures by David Friesen. In one, he's joined by Joe Manis, and in the other one, joined by Larry Coons, the guitarist. Before David Friesen, Jeff Baker from his new album, Phrases. Jeff Baker's arrangement, too, a beautiful job, on the Billy Joel song called And So It Goes. With Jeff Baker, Daryl Grant on piano, Clark Summers on bass, and Brian Blade on drums. We also heard solos from Jeff Bradfield on tenor sax and Marcus Hill on trumpet. There's also a string quartet involved in this album. Jeff Baker's new CD, Phrases. You're listening to Jazz Northwest from 88.5 KNKX, connecting you with the live music scene around the area. Let's take a look at some events coming up on our jazz calendar. Jazz Police are playing this afternoon at Tula's. Jim Cutler Jazz Orchestra is there tonight at 7:30. Noted steel pan player, wonderful player, Andy Norell is performing at the Marine View Church, Tacoma, at 5 this afternoon. There's the Cafe Racer session with Jeb Polstein and Tom Scully at 8 o'clock tonight at Cafe Racer, and Jazz at the Beaver with the 200 Trio and Max Holmberg. Monday night, Latin Jazz with Marina Albero at the Smith Tower at 8 o'clock on the observation deck. Sounds like a nice event. John A. Kendrick will be at Rhythm and Rye in Olympia. Mojam Mondays at the Nectar Lounge every Monday night. Tuesday and Wednesday next week, Branford Marsalis will be in town with his quartet playing at the Triple Door both nights. Emerald City Jazz Orchestra is at Tula's on Tuesday night. The Owl and Thistle Jam and Joe Doria Sea Monster gig are regulars on Tuesday nights. In Bellingham on Wednesday night, a Dixieland All-Star Band will be performing for W.J. Mack at the Sylvia Center in Bellingham. Jim Sisko's Bellevue College Orchestra plays at Tula's. Snohomish High School Band opens. Paragon has its regular Wednesday night hang on Queen Anne, and Kate Olson Ensemble will be at Vito's. Gail Pettis sings The Art of Jazz at the Seattle Art Museum at 5:30 on Thursday. That's a free event. And Kenny G opens at Jazz Alley. That's not a free event. And he'll be playing there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Two shows each night and are sold separately. Mark Lewis and Overton Berry's birthday celebration at the Fremont Tavern on Thursday night. Kareem Candy at the Sea Monster Lounge. And Stafford Hunter and Continuum at Tula's. Stafford Hunter is a member of the Duke Ellington Orchestra, which is playing at Benaroya Hall Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday matinee, the Duke Ellington Orchestra at BH. Birch Pereira and the Gin Joints will be at Tula's on Friday night, Duende Libre at the Tasting Room, which is in Post Alley in the Pike Place Market, and Tumbao will be at the Royal Room. And then on Saturday, Levon Hardison sings at the Sorrento, Susan Pascal's Soul Sauce celebration of Cal Jader with Jay Thomas and Fred Hoadley at Tula's, and Kareem Candy Band playing at Vito's. Lots of good stuff there on the calendar. Get out and hear some live jazz. Speaking of live jazz, here's a live session that we recorded at Tula's with Fade Quartet led by Alex Dugdale, the alto saxophonist. And he's heard here with his group, including the 200 Trio. This is a tune which is a waltz that one of his students described as kind of swaggy. So he combined the term swaggy and waltz, titled this piece Swaltz. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the BC Double Quartet, BC for British Columbia, as well as Bill Kuhn, the guitarist. A double quartet consisting of a jazz quartet with Bill Kuhn, guitar, Brad Turner, the trumpet player, Paul Ruschka, bass, and Bernie Arai on drums, joined by a string quartet led by Cam Wilson, who you heard soloing there, Brad Turner on trumpet and Bill Kuhn on guitar, and the tune we heard was one written by Jim Hall called Careful from the BC Double Quartet CD Departure on Cellar Live from Vancouver. And before that, we were listening to the Alex Dugdale Quartet from Belltown, recorded at Tula's in performance, doing an original by Alex Dugdale titled Swaltz. Daniel Arthur was the pianist, and the Fade Quartet and Alex Dugdale, the alto saxophonist, in that performance recorded at Tula's, doing Alex Dugdale's tune Swaltz. 88.5 KNKX connects you with the Northwest jazz scene every Sunday afternoon at this time. Great emphasis these days on storytelling on public radio. Well, we have a story for you here this afternoon, as told by Lynn DeRock, who is a Portland-based writer, broadcaster, and performer. Here's Lynn DeRock and a story about Brother Ray Charles.
This is Brother Ray, he says. His voice so close, it's like being inside a song. Even better than I hoped, really, after waiting almost 2 years to talk to Ray Charles on the telephone. I've played some of his records so often, I can sing all the parts. Of all the things you've done, I ask, which makes you the most proud? Then I wait. I'm gonna go way back to my youth. And he pauses. It was when I got my first big band. He's thinking back to 1952, now 1954, when he sang I've Got a Woman, his first hit. And he sings me a few bars. Whenever he mentions a song, he'll sing me a few bars. I never had great dreams about winning Grammys, although I did. My dream was to one day have a big band. His scratchy voice picks up momentum as he remembers. Of course, even before then, I always wanted to record a record because everybody I knew that was famous was on a record. Boy, I thought if I could just get on a record, maybe I could be something. And he did make a record before he even had his big band. He made it while he was living in Seattle, where he became a junkie in Seattle, where he first began to wear sunglasses and where he became a man. It was not a hit, he laughs. I was just glad to hear my voice being played back to me from a record. Confession Blues it was, and he croons me the title. But I was thrilled to death to have a record, he says, happy to recapture the memory, happy to remember his youth. My dream from childhood on, though, was to one day have a big band. So when I finally got my dream, my big band, that was something I'd wanted from my childhood. I'd always admired people like Count Basie and Woody Herman and Stan Kenton. I wanted to have a big band like that where I could hear that music come back at me. The other things just sort of came, and he's winding down now. The biggest thrill in my life was when I was young and I was able to do the things I had dreamed of. Ambition drove Ray. The ambition of a blind teenager raised in the South before World War II. When he came to Seattle on a Trailways bus at age 17, he was bursting with them. He and Garcia McKee decided to get as far away from Tampa as they could, so they looked at a map and picked Seattle. Ray got off that bus full of teenage dreams, looking for his power. I came from the woods. The idea of heading west was exciting as hell. And I can see him rubbing his hands together and nodding his head and twisting his face into what might be a smile. His first job in Seattle was at the Black Elks Club, where he could duck behind a huge elk's head near the piano to toke off a joint. He sang Georgia for the Elks Club cook, Georgia Kemp, and everybody loved Ray. Life was good, and his girlfriend Louise even came out from Tampa. In Seattle, all of a sudden I had to become a man. I started keeping house. I had an apartment, a piano, a big radio, a hi-fi set, a telephone. I was cooking. And he laughs with glee. There ain't no doubt about it. I became a man. And he made his record before he turned 21. Less than 4 years later, he got his own big band. And after that, things just came to him. After that, it just became an act. After he discovered what he had that people wanted, after he discovered his power, it all just came to him. And they loved him for it. Ray, 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 they cried, sometimes in groups, sometimes just a single voice above the crowd. They'd already waited more than an hour in drenching rain, sliding around in the pulp of the hillside huddle under miserable umbrellas and blue tarps and Gore-Tex rain suits and makeshift coverings of plastic garbage bags. Ray! 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 And then, when the downpour became a deluge, he was led out to the piano. Seated at the keyboard, one of his black patent leather shoes flapped inches from the curtain of water that poured into our upturned faces where we stood in the mud below the covered stage. Ray cried and moaned from woody baritone to soaring falsetto, every syllable freighted with meaning. He writhed in an unreadable dance at the keyboard, leaning over sideways, almost bent double, his feet splayed and his shoulders lurching. The joy in his voice rose to a crescendo. The Raylettes lent sanctified harmonies to I Can't Stop Loving You, and his calls lifted us. I couldn't read his face, though it might have worn a grimace or a grin. In Seattle, he'd discovered what he needed to do to make the audience love him. Modify the Nat Cole routine and slide back into the blues. One day, goofing around with some friends, showing off, basking in their love, Ray started doing a gospel parody, and he got a glimpse into the sound that would make him famous. He wasn't singing the blues on the job then, because, man, he says, you couldn't make a nickel off that kind of music then. So after 2 years in Seattle, Ray left in the middle of the night on a train to Los Angeles without telling anyone. He hooked up with shows touring the South, and when he finally returned to Seattle 2 years later, he had become the singer we knew. He had become the genius. Suddenly he steps out from behind his soothing mask. Do you play, he asks. No, not anymore, and I feel ashamed. I'd played into my 20s, then quit. Why not? Well, I wasn't really good enough. You just needed a gig, man, he laughs. He's been gigging since he was 15. You just needed a gig. But I did have a few gigs, starting at age 17, just a little behind Ray. I played tenor sax in a rock and roll band we called the Rivieras because the rhythm guitar player's dad owned the Buick dealership and bought us blue blazers we wore on stage where we moved in choreographed steps, blurted out Louie Louie and Walk Don't Run. And I loved being on stage with all the kids dancing and watching me. But I didn't know what to do with that power then. I took much longer to become a man. Maybe I was scared of it. I kept having a dream that I was up on stage but didn't know the music. And I was dazzled by words. They led me to believe there was supposed to be something more to it than getting gigs and entertaining, that there was something more noble than singing, more noble than singing for your supper. Ray was never burdened by notions like that. But today, whenever I manage to please an audience with something I've made, I close my eyes and I'm 17 again, up on stage, riding the buoyant sweep of a big band that carries me with gusts of brass, supports me with thick chords from five saxes, and gives me the power of music. Only this time I'm better. I'm sure of myself at last. I'm using words now instead of notes, and they're all out there, dancing in the rain and loving me for it.
There's a record I've owned since it was brand new. It sounds like it. Ray Charles was 26 years old when he recorded that album in 1958 for Atlantic Records, called The Great Ray Charles. It was his second album for Atlantic Records. David Newman, the great tenor saxophonist, was featured there along with Ray Charles at the piano in that tune titled The Ray, composed and arranged by another former Seattleite from around the same period, Quincy Jones. Before that, we were listening to a story about Ray Charles and started off with memories of an interview with Ray Charles done by Linda Rook, the Portland-based broadcaster, writer, performer, and that's from his album titled Jazz Stories. And we'll wrap it up today with some music from Overton Berry and Bruce Ferris performing together at Tula's. Overton Berry's going to be celebrating his birthday next Thursday by performing with Mark Lewis at the Fremont Tavern in Fremont, beautiful downtown Fremont. This is Overton Berry at the piano, and as much as we have time for of his version of Mercy, Mercy, Mercy. That's Overton Berry at the piano, Bruce Ferris on bass, recorded in performance at Tula's in February, playing Mercy, 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 great hit for Cannonball Adderley, written by Joe Zawinul. And that wraps up our show for today. I'm Jim Wilkie. Thank you so much for listening. And stay tuned for Ken Wiley and the Art of Jazz coming up next. You're listening to KNKX 88.5 Tacoma, Seattle, KPLI 90.1 Olympia, KVIX 89.3 Port Angeles, Victoria, KPLK 88.9 Cedral Woolley, and streaming all jazz worldwide at jazz24.org. Jazz, blues, and NPR News, 88.5 FM.